Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
So I wanted to take some time right now to preach the gospel of Jesus. I want to do that. I actually, and by gospel I mean good news. And so I actually want to focus on who Jesus is, on what his heart is like, his attitudes, his stated mission, his end game. So in this season that we're in, with the pandemic and all the ramifications that are associated with that, not to mention the fact, okay, this is one that, you know, gets me. It's like, oh, wait, but everything else about life didn't stop. You know, the issues that people have had even before coronavirus, they still exist. You know, people are still battling things. People are still struggling here and there. And, oh, on top of that, let me add this. You know, it's like you're in the ocean and you're trying to stay afloat and someone hands you like coronavirus. It's like, for some people, this is overwhelming. And so in light of all of that and all the ramifications of that and all of the things that didn't disappear once coronavirus showed up, I mean, with all the loss and suffering that's going on, I've kind of heard this growing sentiment that God is the source of plague. I've been hearing some of this a little bit more, and it always comes in times of calamity. It always comes in times of crisis when we're trying to point fingers or we're trying to make some sense of it. And I just want to speak to that a little bit here. I just, you know, as I've been hearing, like, even like direct quote, you know, like God is judging the earth with this virus and other calamities. And the kind of people kind of back it up with this like justification, but he's doing this to bring people into repentance. It's like this idea about God creating this virus to bring people into repentance. I want to say some things here that you may actually disagree with, and that's okay. This platform's probably not the best platform for us to debate that. I would certainly invite you to reach out and we can have a conversation about this through the week. But I want to say emphatically that I do not believe that the unified concert of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, I do not believe that they are the source of the coronavirus, and I do not believe that they are judging humanity in this hour. I just want to share that with you. And I think to believe otherwise, like to believe that God is the source of this virus and that God is judging humanity in this hour, I think it's to turn a blind eye to who Jesus was and is to come. According to Acts 3:15, Jesus is the author of life. Jesus is the author of life, and his purpose is very clear, and there's two parts to his purpose. The first one we can find in 1 John 3:8. It says, "The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil." Purpose number one, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Purpose number two is found in Acts 3:22, and it goes on. It's throughout the scripture, but this particular passage is pretty clear that Jesus has come to bring restoration to all things, as God promised long ago. So there has been this theme that has moved through history, like through the prophets, through the writings of the Old Testament, through everything that points to Jesus. It's all about the restoration of all things. So I believe that there's two purposes for Jesus coming to the earth, and that was to bring the restoration of all things, and he does that by destroying the works of the devil. Okay? So Satan, we know, has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus, the author of life, has come to destroy the works of the devil and to restore us back to life. And so I want to share that. Like, I just want to emphatically say that out loud. I want it to be a part of the atmosphere of our culture and our community here. And I like this quote from a recent teaching by Barry Bennett. And some of you guys know Barry Bennett. And he says this: "It is apparent that many who claim to be Christians do not have the slightest understanding of the gospel and the new covenant. This can be seen by the rush to picture God as the source of plagues and viruses and other calamities for the sake of bringing people to repentance. The revelation of Jesus is ignored, along with the multitude of scriptures that speak of his goodness, when we take this view." So let's not ignore the revelation of Jesus, along with all the scriptures that speak of his goodness. And I just want us to listen to a few of those verses now, okay? So I'm just going to read through a few of these verses that are going to help underpin and support this idea that Jesus is the source of life. And he's come to do business with the devil, and he's come to destroy the works of the enemy. And so out of John 5:22, this is the gospel truth. Ready for this? John 5:22. "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." And this is what Jesus says about his judgment. And it's in John 12:47 and 48. This is Jesus speaking. "If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him." So Jesus is actually backing up this idea that the Father doesn't judge. He's given all judgment to me. And I actually do not judge anyone who hears my words and does not believe. "For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." Come on, Jesus. This is Jesus, right? "He who rejects me," so there is a caveat here, "he who rejects me and does not receive my word has that which judges him, the word that I spoke, it will judge him on the last day." So it's almost like unbelief is the judge. It's like if we choose to not believe, if we choose unbelief, then that is what's going to judge us, is our unbelief. So the Father's judging no one. The Son came to save the world, not to judge it. The world will judge those who reject Jesus in the last day, and not before. I personally don't believe that this is the last day. Maybe it is. I'll be happy if Jesus comes back today. But I honestly think that Jesus wants us as his body, and I'll get ahead of myself here for a second. Jesus wants us as a body to actually go and proclaim the good news of Jesus. And if he sent us out to proclaim the good news of Jesus, it's not a race against God. God isn't going to try to kill everybody before we get the good news out to them. Like, God actually wants us to be out there, you know, in any way, shape, and form that we can right now, to point people and point our own hearts and point our families back to who Jesus really is. He's the source of life. That's the good news. So again, if we jump right over Jesus and discount his purposes, then we have to be asked this question. And this question was asked in Romans 2:4. "Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" The goodness of the Trinity on display in the man Christ Jesus leads us to repentance. I don't know that the scriptures tell us, you know, that judgment is going to lead us to repentance. I mean, it seems to me like the goodness of God. And that question is a big question. We do not despise the riches of God's goodness. We do not despise His forbearance. We do not despise His long-suffering, His patience. We understand the goodness of God as a community. We understand that more each day. That's why it's important for us to give testimony of God's goodness, because maybe we forgot, and maybe we need to be reminded of the goodness of God. And that's the power of the testimony. And that's the power of asking these kind of questions. What do you see God doing, and what are you thankful for? Because it orients us back to the goodness of God. Now, I realize that the scriptures tell us that God is willing to disrupt us. In fact, it was already shared this morning that we can expect that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Hebrews 12, 26 through 28 tells us this: I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed, so that only unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and worship God with holy reverence. God is a consuming fire. And when I think about God as a consuming fire, fire is an interesting one for me, because it can be my best friend or it can be my worst enemy. It depends on the context, right? So for me, when I think about the fire of God, like God's fire, I think about it in terms of God's passionate, loving heart for humanity. God is willing to shake all the things that are not doing us any favors because He loves us. The passionate love of God is willing to consume everything that gets in the way of love. As Mike Bickle puts it, Jesus, the bridegroom king, is shaking everything that hinders love. I just love that. And so God is love. And to quote 1 Corinthians 13, love does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, and it thinks no evil. God is this. God is love. And these are His attributes. He is not easily provoked, and He thinks no evil. So this is hardly the message that those who want to make God out to be a perpetrator and an accessory to death, this is far removed from that, right? So we want to refocus, and maybe you're already there, and I'm grateful that I'm in a company of people that know Jesus and are getting to know Jesus even more, and they're discovering the goodness of God, and they're letting His kindness invite them into the change and the deliverance and the repentance that He's calling us into the kingdom. What about this truth? This is 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. And in Jesus, God is reconciling the world to Himself. This covenant that we have is a covenant of peace. And He has given us, as the church, the words of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation, of coming to peace with God. So if we're going to attribute the plague or the virus or whatever to God, then basically we're saying that Jesus does in fact impute man's sins against Him, and that the gospel is not a word of reconciliation, but a word of judgment. So we have to get it right, right? Can we do that? I mean, let's just remember. So a final thought here. Why does Jesus begin His public ministry quoting Isaiah 61? And in that passage of Isaiah 61, he declares the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. And I was thinking about the word acceptable, and you know, I had this thought. It kind of came to me through some things that I was reading, some encouragements I was getting this week. Again, you know, Barry Bennett was one, and Mike Bickle's always an encouragement to me. Bill Johnson's always a great encouragement to me. Brian Fenimore, he's an encouragement to me. In fact, Brian Fenimore is going to be here on Zoom next week. You can look forward to that. Next Sunday, Brian Fenimore will be here. It's his week, you know? Can't not have Brian. So the word acceptable here. I think the reason why Jesus came declaring the acceptability of God has more to do with the fact that humanity, you and I, we're worthy of acceptance. We're not worthy of plagues, virus. We're not worthy of the destructive work of Satan and his associates. God himself declares us worthy of acceptance. He declares your neighbors worthy of acceptance. They might be boneheads. I mean, they might drive you crazy, but they're worthy of acceptance. And so I just wanted to lift our vision this morning to remember who Jesus is. He's so multi-layered and wonderful. He so displays through his teachings, his words, his actions. The Gospels are chocked full of the ways that God orients his heart towards human beings. The weak, the broken, the frail, the immature, the frightened, even the religious. God is for humans. And we carry that message. Our lives are that message. And we get to display the attributes of Jesus by his Holy Spirit through our very lives. And so that's my encouragement this morning. And as I, you know, did last week, I want to encourage you, try not to isolate. Try to connect with your peeps. You know, you got all these ways of doing it. You're here. I mean, you know how to use a phone and a computer. Link it up. Carve out some time. I want to encourage you to carve out some time every single day. And in that time, again, you might be encouraged to light your candle. It helps me focus. And I just want to encourage you to spend some time in worship. Like Teresa was saying, I want to encourage you to spend some time in prayer. And I want your prayers. If I could just impart to you this encouragement, like your prayers do not have to be laborsome. They can be a very uplifting time where you're connecting with the heart of Jesus because he's making intercession. We get to join in. So maybe you start your prayers instead of, okay, here's my list of everything I want to pray for and everyone I want to pray for. Maybe you start your prayers with, Holy Spirit, in my weakness, I don't know how to pray. And I want to ask you to intercede through me now. You're going to find an infusion of the Holy Spirit's power coming through you in your times of prayer, and it's going to lift you up. And so let prayer and intercession be a time of intimacy with the Lord as well. And so those are my encouragements. All right. And I want to pray. And one of the things that I want to pray for specifically is the fact that today is the last day of spring break. Do you guys know that the kids have to go back to school tomorrow, but they don't go to the school? They stay home. And do you know that the parents are going to have to figure out how to get their kids online and how to get, you know, that their rooms all set, their house all set for school. And the teachers have to come up with creative ways of engaging their students using online platforms. And so you've got students, you've got teachers, you've got administrators, you've got parents all trying to figure this thing out by tomorrow morning. And honestly, I know that Sarah Lee, you spoke of this last week, and I know it's on your heart even today. This is an opportunity. There are things that can come from this. There's always that possibility of a percentage of students just kind of checking out, or people having, you know, issues with all of this, parents in particular. But I just want to invite us as a community to pray for that situation, okay? Jesus, thank you for your words of encouragement. Thank you that you are the author of life, and you have come to give life and give it to the fullest. And Satan and his associates, they're wanting to bring destruction. Like, they are thieves. And they steal and they kill and they destroy. And we just want to banish the work of Satan in our sphere by the strong name of Jesus. And we just want to push back the darkness, Lord, and let your light shine as the Holy Spirit just infuses us with fresh hope and fresh encouragement. Lord, we pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit on your entire church, and not only our city, but in whatever city people are representing as they come on to this platform today. Lord, we pray for a move of your Holy Spirit, a move of God, that the kindness of God, the goodness of God would bring thousands, millions into your kingdom as the result of this shaking. Lord, we thank you that you're not judging us. You're inviting us. Lord, you're inviting us into reconciliation with you. You're inviting us into peace. And so, Lord, thank you that we are ministers of that reconciliation, that we're ambassadors of the kingdom of God on the earth as it is in heaven. And so, Lord, thank you for reminding us of that. And Lord, I want to pray right now for all of the parents and students and teachers and administrators that are trying to navigate education remotely. I pray that your grace would fill every home. I pray that your grace would just inspire every teacher. And I pray that students would learn. And I pray, Lord, that we would we would see opportunities just really, just flourish and good fruit come from this. And we pray that for ourselves as a community of faith, Lord. I miss my friends. I'm a hugger. I miss hugging people. And Lord, I just want to ask you, Lord, now, would you bring an end to this situation quickly? Just as Ethan had that dream, Lord, would you bring a sudden end to this? Lord, I'm trying to gain some insight into the symbolism of the firefighters spraying water. And Lord, I just thank you that we are a fellowship of burning hearts. And that a play on words here, like a fireman, they're either putting fires out or they're starting fires. And Lord, you have given us the consuming fire of your passion and your love. And we are a fellowship of burning hearts. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit, always represented by water so often in your word and also in dreams, Lord God, that we would be agents of just spreading just the goodness of your truth, spreading the goodness of your presence, spreading the goodness of the Holy Spirit into our community, and let that be an antidote for anything that wants to come against us. Lord, I pray for each family represented here. I pray that you would continue to bring health to them, divine health, restorative health. Lord, we continue to pray for Leslie and the babies, and Lord, just their whole situation. And we pray, Lord God, for Danny and her soon delivery. We pray for those even who are gathered with us who are expecting, the Phillips and the Gonzalez's and the Weddles, Lord, and Hank and Tommy. Lord, we just want to thank you for that life is relentless. And Lord, we thank you that we get to experience the joy, the fruit of intimacy. Lord, we just ask, Lord, I prayed this on Wednesday. I just want to pray it again. Lord, that in this time where we are self contained and we're quarantined and we're locked down and all of this stuff where we're confined in some ways. It feels like such confinement to many. I pray that this would not be difficult for couples, husbands and wives. And I pray that this would not be difficult for parents and children. I pray that instead of tension and friction, you would bring intimacy, openness, and honesty in communication and love. And I pray that what the enemy means for destruction, you would turn to good in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.